Lord of all creation, of water, earth, and sky. The heavens are your tabernacle. Glory to the Lord on high. God of wonders beyond all galaxy, you are holy, holy. The universe declares your majesty. You are holy, holy. Lord of heaven and earth, Lord of heaven and earth.
Friends, welcome to worship today. We really are delighted that you can join us. It's a busy old day here at St. Stephen's in Qualicum Beach. Do you remember when we had a film company here filming a program called Chesapeake Shores? Well, that company is back filming something else now, and they're using our parking lot today. So if you hear some banging or shouting or whatever, don't worry. They're just doing their work out there. Friends, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Would you join me in today's call to worship? We have been called the salt of the earth. Let us remain distinctive and salty. We have been called the light of the world. Let us shine brightly in the midst of pain or confusion. We have been called a city set on a hill. Let us, like Jerusalem, lift our gates, lift our hearts, lift our voices in the worship of God. Let's pray together. O God, in whose mercy we find our peace, in whose presence we find our place, in whose world we find our calling, grant us grace so to hear and accept your word, that we may be faithful followers of your will and your way all our days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's join together in the prayer of confession. Your glory, O God, is declared in the holy silence of the heavens and told in the silent succession of day and night. No speech or word or voice is heard, yet they speak to all the world, and their words reach to the ends of the earth. The sun joyfully leaps across the sky, from one end of the heavens to the farthest reaches, and nothing is hidden from its heat or light. So nothing that we do or say or whisper in our hearts is hidden from you, Lord God. Release us from darkness we hide deep within our lives. Forgive us for the ways we turn from your glory and from the life you offer. Let our lives be radiant with holy fear, delighting in your teaching, receiving insight from your commandments, and wisdom from your encouraging. Enliven our desire for your everlasting judgments over wealth or fame, to enjoy the sweet drippings of the honeycomb that are to be found when we live in right relationship with those around us and with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Friends, how kind our God is, full of grace and compassion and love. He rescues our souls, he dries our tears, and he keeps our feet from stumbling so that we can once again walk in God's presence with confidence and with joy. So friends, be at peace because your sins are forgiven and God's work of healing and restoring this old world is underway. Thanks be to God, and God's people say, Amen.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is taken from Psalm 19, and I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version of the Bible. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent, Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Okay, I have to make a confession to you all this morning. I can't remember the last time I preached on a psalm, which is probably a pretty good sign that it is high time that I do this. If I'm going to be completely honest, I don't find myself drawing to pick psalms as often as I pick other styles of biblical writing, simply because I actually find it more difficult to step into a psalm than I do into, say, a narrative story. And that's actually what I am trying to do every time I preach. I try to help us all to step into the reading and then leave enough space for each of us to see what God is trying to show us. At least that's the theory. So, with that, let's go. Let's try stepping into this spectacular psalm together, the psalm that C.S. Lewis famously considered the greatest poem in the whole book of the Psalms and one of the greatest lyrics in the world. High praise from one of my absolute favorite theologians. Another preacher that I listened to this week said he likes to think of Psalm 19 as a three-paneled work of art. And I think that description might be quite helpful for us as we try to envision what the words of this psalm are showing us. So let's start. First panel, that's verses 1 through 6. And in that panel, we get to see the grandeur of God's creation. The psalmist captures how creation has this incredible and innate ability to speak to us so eloquently without using any words, simply through its magnificence and its beauty. All of it, as the psalmist says, telling of the glory of God. The second panel depicts verses 7 through 11, and it shows us the gift that is God's word, the scriptures that tell us the story of God with humankind, the scriptures that guide us to the life that God actually longs for us to discover with each other and with him. Now, for the very first hearers of this psalm, faithful Jews, this would have referred to the Torah, which is the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. But I think it is fair for us to hear in these verses and to let them draw our minds to the hearts of the whole of our scriptures in all of their wonderful variety and fullness. They are, as the psalmist says here, perfect, right, and pure, and more to be desired than gold, even fine gold, and sweeter than honey dripping fresh from the honeycomb. Now let's pause there for just a minute, because we need to deal with something, I think, before we move on to the third panel of our masterpiece. Some of us might not actually think of the scriptures, especially certain parts of the scriptures, with quite the same degree of delight that the psalmist does. Some might even be more familiar with the feeling of being burdened by the weight of scripture. Or perhaps you find it all quite restrictive and constraining. If that happens to be your particular leaning, gosh, I would love to chat with you about it. Give me a call, or better yet, if you're free one Wednesday morning, come and join us in Bible study so we can explore that together. Because none of those heavy, restrictive feelings are God's intention for us. The Bible's teachings are not meant to ruin or constrain life for us. They're actually meant to be a bit like a treasure map, a map that we explore and we follow. A map that will ultimately lead us to the prize at its heart, this life with God and with each other that we first got to see lived out and embodied in Jesus' own life. The rich, abundant life that we can discover and deepen as we follow him. When scripture becomes the guide for us to that life, then I think we begin to know what the psalmist was talking about when he said that it is richer than the best gold and sweeter on the lips than fresh dripping honey. It truly does become something very precious to us. Well, that third panel in this psalm, it runs from verses 12 through 14. And there, with his words, the psalmist draws us close. Close to the God who is at the center of it all. If you pay close attention, you will notice that there's a shift here. The language in this final portion changes from the third person to the first person. Now it's just you and God, focusing on how he forms each of us for this life that he's longing to lead us to. The psalmist describes how we discern and leave behind the things that actually take us further from God. And instead, we let ourselves be shaped by things that delight God's heart, things that help us to be closer to him. It's what the third panel's really all about. So the whole sweep of this entire psalm carries us from the unspeakable grandeur of the cosmos and creation through the life-giving guide that is God's word to us, and then finally draws us as close as we can be to God. It ends leaving us meditating on the ways that we each experience God's Spirit at work in our hearts throughout our lives. Well, as I sat with this psalm this week, and I went through each of those three sections, I found myself having faces come to my mind, faces of people who I suspect will find some connection with their own faith and experience in one or another of these three sections. The first panel that describes finding the glory of God in the wonder of creation made me think of the people I know who find that their closest encounters with God happen when they are in the forest or on the beach or in their garden. These folks are often touched deeply by the natural world with all of its beauty and complexity. For them, creation truly is like a pathway that leads them to God's presence and to this sense that God is all around them. That second panel, the one that extols God's word, it had me thinking of my friends who just delight in digging into scripture. People who often discover something new in the verses that they've been reading for many years. People whose ever-changing and growing experience with the Bible convinces them that it truly is God's living word to us. That same panel also reminds me of those precious, blessed, and gifted folks who have spent their entire lives studying and learning the stories of the Bible, so that now they just have the perfect scripture passage or story to speak to a situation right at their fingertips whenever they need it. And because they do, they are able to draw strength, comfort, and guidance from those words. The strength, comfort, and guidance God wants to give us. These are people who have learned that if they want to hear from God, their best bet is to sit down with their Bibles and read with expectant hearts and minds, open and looking for what God might want to say to them today. Well, the third panel brought to mind all of my friends whose lives have been and continue to be shaped in prayer to and with God. I say and with because these are people who have learned through their experiences that as they sit with God, listening for him, he will whisper to their minds or draw a vision into their minds or give them a feeling or a sense deep in their gut. He will meet with them one-on-one directly in prayer. And those encounters do shape not just their faith, but their whole being. I actually firmly believe that this can be true for any of us in prayer and for all of us. It's just that some people have actually honed their practice of prayer so finely that it is just in them, almost as second nature as breathing. It's part of who they are every day, through everything. And to that I only say, Lord, let us all become like that. Which actually brings me to a final thought I want to share, a more personal one than I usually do in a sermon. I am keenly aware that there are a number of us in our church family who are facing some pretty big challenges right now. And I'm pretty sure that there's even more people than I know facing things I don't even know about yet. Right now, life is really hard for some of us. And because it is, I think that it's especially fitting for us to have a psalm before us today. Because while C.S. Lewis may have named this particular psalm as the greatest in the whole book of the Psalms, he also had much to teach us about the precious place psalms hold in our faith and in our lives. In his personal journals, Lewis described the changes that began to happen when he started to pray the psalms. He said this, "After a few months of praying the psalms, dramatic changes began to emerge in my relationship with God. The joyous result for me has been a freedom to pray the full range of my feelings, whether positive or negative. I feel that I've been given permission to be nakedly honest with myself and before the Lord. Now, I know from experience that God is fully able to handle my honest, gut-level responses to the raw edge of life as I struggle before him. It is tremendous comfort to realize that honesty does not mean infidelity, but that honesty is actually a prerequisite to fidelity." I don't know who said it first, but it was Phil that taught it to me. That when life is hard and you feel like you're getting nothing but curveballs thrown at you, turn to the Psalms. When life is so hard that you don't know what to pray, or you just can't pray, or you can't find the words to express what you're feeling, turn to the Psalms. Because no matter what you're feeling, somewhere in the Psalms you can find ancient words that will express that to God in stark, beautiful honesty. And along with countless people of faith before you, including Jesus himself from the cross, we can use these words to pour out our feelings to God. The Psalms are here to help us to connect with God and to express that connection, not just in the times when life is good and easy, but through it all, whatever life brings. The Psalms are here to teach us to pray with raw honesty to the God who already knows our hearts, but also knows that it is so good for us to pour our hearts out to him. Just like it's good when a small child finds comfort by throwing themselves into their parents' arms when it all just gets to be too much. Dear friends, the Psalms can help us to find the words we need to be completely honest with God, whatever our situation. And that honesty, whether it is birthed in joy or in sorrow, the honest trust in God to be with us and to be for us through it all, that's actually what our faith is all about. Amen.
All handed.
Good morning, everyone. It's really great to be here with you in this service, and I look forward to sharing some prayers with you as we speak to God about what's going on in our world. Isn't it great to be here to celebrate, though, the fact that God's with us and among us all the time? Coming together with God and His church gives us each the opportunity to share many of the blessings that we've been given by God. And as we join together in prayer, we ask you, God, to enter our hearts and minds so that we know you are here with us. Let us pray. Most gracious God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we come together to give you thanks for the many blessings and to raise up to you the many challenges that each of us and your children around the world face. We also come to lift up to you in prayer our hopes and dreams for your church here at St. Stephen's and around the world. God of promise, to always be with us, we thank you for the wonderful community of faith that you have brought together here at St. Stephen's United Church. We are so excited to be welcoming new members to our service and ask that you encourage those who may be seeking a safe place to worship as they seek your hope to come through our doors. As the church board here at St. Stephen's seeks new ways to bring your love closer to the community, we ask for your guidance and inspiration to ensure we are acting in a manner that pleases you. We ask, God, that you keep us ever mindful that you created everyone equal and help us to treat each other with the same love and generosity that you have shared with each of us. God, speak to us, lead us, and bless those in leadership positions in your church here with wisdom and courage as we look to the future. Lord, we are aware of the extremes between our life experience here in Oceanside and that of your children around the world. We watch with great anguish the hate and cruelty, the deceit and the abuse that is so rampant in the world around us, and we want it to go away. We take solace in knowing that your church is alive and active, and that where it's alive and active, there will be hope, love, peace, and security for your children. God, we ask you all to bless all of the church leaders around the world and here at home, and give them the wisdom, strength, and courage to carry your word to the whole world. Help all of us to teach people to love as Jesus loves, and that only his love will generate the hope necessary to bring your children into a state of peace, security, and family with you. God of the new creation, we thank you for the beauty and resilience of your creation. God, we know that all of the elements, both large and small, are here to give us life and to create an environment where we can commune with you. We know your creation has goodness overflowing for all if we treat it properly. We raise up to you our concern for all of those who are suffering and at risk from extreme weather events and hunger and illness caused by the damage we have done to the home you have provided us. We know you intended us to share your creation with all things, not just to steal from it. We ask that you help us to tend your garden paths, bringing them back to the beauty that you created so that we have a quiet place to walk with you. God of compassion, we raise up to you all of those who are suffering here in Oceanside and around the world, whether it is suffering from the loss of a loved one, pain from injury, loneliness, illness, or hunger. We raise up those who are trapped in the devastation of war or caught up in the greed and lies of others. God, we ask that you bring all your children into a place of safety and hope with the health and nutrition they require to be in a space where they can and will want to say, "Thank you, Lord." We also ask that you give all of those who are caregivers the strength, courage, and grace to carry your love into the most difficult and dangerous situations around the world. God of grace, we pray that you keep us aware of your presence in our lives as we struggle to remember that as Jesus was sending his disciples out to all the world to teach of your love and hope, that we are also sent out to make a difference in your name. God, we are troubled by the devastation of war, and we pray that you enter the souls of those who wage war on their loved ones, on their children, and on people who they will never know for the sake of personal gain or prejudice. We pray that you will show them the wonder of your teaching of love your neighbor as yourself and how to love as Jesus loves, so that through this wisdom, spiritually well and spiritual well-being, they will bring peace to the world. Lord, you are a great leader, and you possess all knowledge of what has been and what is to come. We pray that you faithfully share that knowledge with all of those in leadership positions in the world, so that they might bring forward actions that can heal all wounds, rebuild our connection to you, and that will once again bring the promise of bright morning sunshine, the light of Jesus Christ, to all corners of the earth. As we finish our prayers, let us pray as Jesus taught his followers to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen."
Thank you for all the ways you contribute to the life and work of Jesus Christ here in the church and beyond. Would you pray with me over all the gifts given this week? Let's pray the offertory prayer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to the care and redemption of all that you have made, for the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Friends, learn from Christ. Trust him. Delight in him. Give all that is in every day to him. And you will never walk alone. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, be yours today. And may the blessing of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you today and stay with you evermore. Amen.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely? is